You can't borrow your way out of debt. And you can't stay in debt without going under.
Amen.
But you don't know that unless you find out from the Bible.
I know my God has made the way for me. I know my God has made the way for me.
Chasing possessions leads a person to make bad decisions and become a slave to selfishness. But Jesus marks the pathway to freedom and fulfillment. Join Kenneth Copeland as he explores that path in Wake Up and Be Aware, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Now, yesterday morning and last night's service, we were dealing with the concept of covetousness. Covetousness is a way of thinking. We talked yesterday about concept. We're going to get into working knowledge today and the working of it and how it works. So let's go back over where we were in the 12th chapter of Luke's gospel where Jesus taught on this. One of the company in the 13th verse, one of the company said to him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, not just the man that just said that, but to the other people that are there, take heed, wake up, become aware, and beware. To beware of something, you have to be aware of it. You have to know something about it. That's the reason he went ahead and taught on it here, and not only here, but all over the Bible. He's not the only one that taught it. Everybody, all the writers of the Bible, one way or another, talked about this. So that you beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things. Say things. Things. Natural things that he possesses. Notice here what Jesus said. Your life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things which you possess. He spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself. This is a thought that came up on the inside of him. I am totally convinced by what I've learned from this chapter and other related things that I'm going to share with you today, that that thought was something that God planted into him, trying to get him loose from what was about to happen to him, because he was about to die and he didn't know it. Amen. And he didn't recognize God when it came. And so he said within himself, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? He said, this will I do. Good question, bad answer. Now I want you to notice again this afternoon how this answer made him so vulnerable to anything that steals or kills or destroys. He was blind to it. Look what he said. I will pull down my barns. Now he's made a very, very bad financial decision. Right. He's about to spend a bunch of money tearing his barn down. He don't need to tear the barn down. Jesus said over here in the 33rd verse, Sell what you have and give alms. Get into the giving business. Quit thinking about your future and trying to provide for your future, and begin to think like this. How do you empty the barn when it's full? Sell what you have and give alms. He didn't say sell what you have and become poor and you'll be happy. He wasn't talking about the man becoming poor. He's talking about the man becoming more wealthy than he is now. But for what he's using his wealth for, he don't need any more. You can just have billions of dollars and you can't spend much more than I can. Because you can't wear but one pair of breeches at a time. And you're not going to eat but, you know, so many meals a day. Amen. I thought I'd just kind of let that soak in a little bit. Now, when you get that way, if your motive is just to provide for you all your life and make sure you can quit young and have a party, that's what this guy said he wanted to do. He built up where he got enough barns full to last for many years. Well, thinking that way got him into trouble. And got him in a place because he's not listening to God. God wants to get you over into the giving so that your results, your harvest, is all the time. All the time. It's not based on the economy. Listen, when you've got a bad economy like right now, if this is not an economic downturn, this is a bust. You understand? Why? Because of wrong principles. Amen. You can't borrow your way out of debt. And you can't stay in debt without going under.
Amen.
But you don't know that unless you find out from the Bible. The Bible tells you what to do about debt and all the rest of it. And you'll find out from the Word of God that debt is under the curse. Amen. Amen. Jesus came preaching the acceptable year of the Lord, which was supernatural debt cancellation. Well, there's a whole way of life here, see.
That's right.
And if God could get this man over on the giving side, God knew what was coming. The man didn't. He could get him out of that covetous thinking and get him over to selling instead of destroying. He's going to tear his barns down. Hey, man, you don't need to tear those barns down. Those are perfectly fine barns. There's no use you tearing them down, spending all the money to tear them down, and then spending all the money to build new ones and losing the crops that you have in your barns now because you got to pull them out of there to tear the barn down. What's going to happen to them? One good rain and you're wiped out. And then one good drought, and you've got all them big barns with nothing to put in it. He's vulnerable on all sides. And man, I want you to know Satan moved in on him. And something happened to him that day. His soul was required of him. Amen. And then what did Jesus say? You fool. This night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which you have provided? Now, why did God say which you have provided? I thought his land was blessed. It was. It was producing plentifully, wasn't it? But this man is not giving God any of the praise or the glory or gratitude for it. He's just thinking about his own ugly self, and I want to eat, drink, and be merry. Or just get drunk and have a glutton party for the balance of his life. I need you to listen very carefully now. First John chapter 3, let's go there. Let's look in the 14th, beginning with the 14th verse. We know that we have passed from death unto life. We know it. Let me put it this way. We know that because the Word teaches that. But we know it. We have knowledge of it. We have intimate working knowledge of the fact that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. And I might add, with the love of God that's been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. Well, Brother Copeland, I don't hate. Now, wait. You're about to give me a genetically altered definition of hate, and I don't want to hear it. Well, I don't hate my brother. Really? Well, before we go any further, we're going to have to fix that. Look over here in the second chapter, the ninth verse. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abides in the light, and there's no occasion of stumbling in him. That word occasion is scandal. It's in your cross-reference there, if you have a cross-reference in your Bible. There's no place for scandals when you're walking in love, because it doesn't look like the thing to do to covet that woman or that property. You're over in the giving mode instead of the taking mode, and the Satan can't take you down with sin. Why? We walk in the light as he is in the light. His blood cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Now, verse 17 or 16, hereby perceive we the love of God. Hereby we perceive, we get concept, we get insight and ideas into God's way of thinking. Hereby we perceive we love the love of God because he laid down his life for us. He didn't try to protect himself. He laid it down. He wasn't covetous with his own life. Did it do anything for his future? Oh, yeah. Jesus was raised up on a far higher plane, and God gave his only begotten Son so that he could bring many sons unto glory. Yeah. Give, and it'll be given unto you again. Yeah. Pressed down, shaken together, running over.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We're talking about God's principles. It's God's love.
Amen.
Without him, you don't have this kind of love.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Now, here's where I wanted to get you. This whole session, this hour, is to get that 17th verse in its place and get it inside your thinking. But whoso or whosoever has this world's good resources for sustaining life sees his brother and fellow believer in need. Now listen, yet closes. He closes something. When you close something, you stop it from functioning. He closes his heart of compassion. What is compassion? That is a manifestation of the love of God by which faith works. By which we receive the blessing and activate Abraham's blessing. By which we receive this world's goods. By which we are a part of heaven's economy. And when things go belly up in the world's economy, they have someone to contact. We not only can get you saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, we can help you with your house payment, man. You know, praise God. The church, I tell you, the church ought not be known for its stinginess and its fighting one another over doctrine.
That's right. Come on.
We ought to be known for the way we love one another. Amen. So what happens? Sees his brother and fellow believer in need. He closes his heart of compassion against him. How can the love of God live and remain, or remain alive and functioning and working in faith and working to do what? Build that blessing wall of protection. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, some of you ought to be jumping and running right now. I mean, little children, let's not love merely in theory or in speech, but in deed and truth, practice in sincerity. By this shall we know or have intimate relationship, perceive and recognize and understand that we are of the truth and can reassure, quiet, conciliate, and pacify our own hearts in His presence. Oh, glory to God. In His presence there is liberty and peace and goodness and wellness instead of tragedy and curse all the time. Did you get anything out of this today? Hallelujah.
Success, thrive, grow, increase, to prosper. Are you ready for a complete financial breakthrough? The key to being a part of God's financial system is to do your part. Step out in faith and receive what God has for you. It's our prayer that you experience true prosperity like never before, spirit, soul, and body. To accomplish this, we've created one of the most in-depth Bible-based resources Kenneth Copeland Ministries has ever made available on this subject. Introducing Lifeline's newest title, Your 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan for Complete Financial Breakthrough. Be prepared to fully engage with all the materials. Write in your workbook, speak the scriptures, pray the prayers, watch the videos, listen to the music, and take time to really absorb the teachings. Take a step of faith towards your financial breakthrough today. Order your copy of Your 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan for Complete Financial Breakthrough by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Now available for just $15. For faster processing, order online at kcm.org. To request your copy by phone, call 800-575-4455. Or you may write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. This new product is a lifeline practical tool for your everyday needs. Order yours today.
My name is Scott Lamond. I live in Sebastian, Florida. And when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was 16 years old, I was quickly introduced to Kenneth Copeland on television and was sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries for going on 3 decades now.
Wow, so for 30 years you've been a partner with KCM?
Oh, I only within, I'd say, the last decade learned what true partnership meant, but I was sowing in the ministry for all the 30 years. I've been coming here about 5 years now, and there's just like no place else to be at this time.
And has God blessed you in your business? Have you prospered?
Definitely, yeah. I'm currently making probably 10 times as much as I was 30 years ago, but doing the exact same thing.
Wow, how do you explain that?
That's the blessing. It's the blessing in operation. And as you know, I sowed into Kenneth Copeland Ministries and in other ministries, and being a tither, that blessing is put into operation.
Well, things were going well in your business. Things sound like you're going well in your life, but there was something that wasn't right in your family. Tell me a little bit about your daughter.
Well, she was pretty much okay while we were, you know, growing up. She was involved in sports and going to church. But once she got out on her own in work and in college, then she got into a different, you know, group of people and started getting involved in drugs and eventually lost touch with us. And eventually we found out that she was out on the street and not talking to us for about 3 years, where we didn't hear from her.
Every day it had to be that those thoughts had to come to your mind. What's happening to her? Is she okay?
Right.
How did you combat that?
Well, just every day in prayer, thanking him for those things, thanking him that he has her in his care, and that, you know, we prayed that the Lord of the harvest would bring laborers into her path, and he did.
And during the 3 years that you didn't have contact with your daughter, you were still coming to conventions.
Right.
Were you able to gain something here that helped you?
Particularly on Fridays when we have the partner meeting and Brother Copeland shares all the things that's going on in the ministry, he ends by praying over the partners. And he says, for all those partners that children haven't contacted them, that they'll be calling them. And I just stood on those promises and the agreement with KCM, convention after convention. But, you know, I had a peace drop down in my heart by the Holy Spirit when we agreed on that would come to pass.
And that has to be supernatural, because there was no reason in the natural for you to feel like everything was going to be okay, was it?
Right. But in the Spirit, there was a peace in my heart, and being in agreement with KCM and the people, they were aware of the situation and they were standing in prayer with me as well.
If they don't know where their children are and haven't heard from them, I'm asking you, Father, to cause their children to call them, cause them to connect with them, cause them to get them on the phone, write them, come home, and come home born again, praise God.
About a year and a half ago, I got a call from her, and the story ended up being that she was led to the Lord by a pastor, and he found my daughter Amanda in the hospital, in the emergency room, recovering from heroin. And he got her out of the emergency room into a rehabilitation program, rededicated her life and working in the church. And then when she got to the point, I guess, where she was clean and sober for a certain period, then she was able to go away from that and contact us and get back into contact and get back into our lives.
Wow. What was that like, Scott?
I ran around the house just praising the Lord, just crying and, you know, just praise the Lord at the top of my lungs. And that's all, you know, that's all you can do at that point.
Do you think that your daughter recognized that this was divine intervention in her life?
Oh, definitely, definitely. She's been clean and sober now, and she was living with me for a while, and now she's moved out, and she had gotten a job while she was living with me, but now she's gotten her own apartment about 15 minutes away and doing well, and continue to stand the same way that she will continue to do well, and that she'll serve the Lord. Yes, KCM has been a great partner for such a long time, and not just agreeing in prayer for specifics, but sowing the word in for so long that it becomes such an anchor in you that when these things come about, that you aren't tossed about in a storm, but you have an anchor of the word to depend upon already sown in your heart through this ministry.
And this answer to prayer, Scott, on something that is so personal, which is your children, what has that done for you in your walk with the Lord?
Well, it's just made me be even more committed to reaching out and helping others and being that laborer in the field for somebody else. Because, you know, for those other people that are out there that are looking for their children to come back home, to call them again, to get in off the street or to get off drugs, that, you know, just keep holding them up in prayer and your Father in heaven answers their prayers.
You know, Gloria, I was thinking right at the close of that and what Brother Lamont said. He said, I want to be available. Now, Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, send laborers into the field. Now, first of all, Jesus said, if you're going to spoil a strong man's house, first bind him. Satan, I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ off my child, off of the people that are believing God here for their children. I bind you, Satan, off them. You desist in your maneuvers to keep them out of the kingdom of God and to lure them into places where they're not supposed to be. Shut up and stop now. I pray the Lord of the harvest get laborers across their paths with the word of their salvation, the word of their deliverance, the word of their healing, the word of their protection, and send them home. Glory to God. Yes, have them call their parents, their loved ones, and come running back to Jesus.
And Lord,
Jesus,
if they're held against their will, we charge the angels to go in there and get them free.
Go get them out.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. Open the way for them to get out.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Now, he prayed, God, you sent somebody across my daughter's path. I want to be one out there. Somebody's praying that. Send me across their child. Send me to help. That's powerful.
Yes, it is.
And so we believe that. Praise God, we believe that in this ministry. You need to be believing that right where you are right now. Now, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, let me tell you something. You need to do it right now.
Yes,
the Scripture just simply said Jesus died for the ungodly, and you and I both qualified. Amen. Now, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believeth to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Make a turn.
This is a whosoever thing.
That's right.
Pray that right now. Father, I believe. Jesus is alive.
Jesus is alive.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Jesus, come into my heart.
I receive you as my Savior.
I receive you as my Savior.
I repent of sin.
I repent of sin.
I renounce the past.
I renounce the past.
I renounce the devil and everything he stands for.
I renounce the devil and everything he stands
for. In Jesus' name I pray it.
In Jesus' name I pray it.
Amen.
Amen.
Now shout amen.
Amen.
Now let me tell you something right quick before we go.
Amen.
If you prayed this with us today, I want to send you these five little books, free and postpaid, to help you get started reading your Bible. Amen.
Amen.
And how to read your Bible, because I'll tell you something, my brother and sister, that's where your deliverance is, right there for the rest of your eternity. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth and Gloria Copeland reminding you God loves you and we love you.
And
Jesus is Lord.
If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, take the next step toward understanding who you are in Christ. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to send you five free books. For faster processing, order your salvation package online at kcm.org. Take hold of God's promises and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Oh, sometimes it might take a week. Sometimes it might take a month. Sometimes it might take a year. But if you'll stay on your confession of faith based on the Word of God, whatever you're believing God for will ultimately change.